Well, hello and welcome back to our study in Universalism. We're talking about Paul and Universalism now. This is our fourth time to do that, number 17 in the series altogether. I hope you go back and check out the rest of this series. It'd be good if you could start at the beginning so you know where I'm coming from. Today I'm calling this Mercy on All. Universalism may have come about, in part anyway, as a reaction to hyper-Calvinism. You go too far with Calvin and it just gets crazy. Unfortunately, it developed, though, into a rejection of Paul and other Bible writers. Paul sounds a lot like Calvin sometime, or is it the other way around? Whatever. Romans chapter 9, verses 14 to 22. As Paul begins discussing what God knew and God didn't know, and the judgments he made in eternity past, a thought arises in the minds of carnal men. This is not fair. Paul questions that conclusion here. He said there could be no unrighteousness with God. He can do what he wants to do. And our puny attempts at reinterpreting his motives, protecting his image, or whatever it is we're doing when we twist the scriptures, it won't work. Let's leave God's word alone. It's what it is, and we can't change it. Who are we to reply against God? Good question, Paul. Notice his further totally unacceptable, by our standards, comments. He says, there are some people that have been prepared for destruction. God's enduring them, letting them go for now, but destruction is theirs. I don't like saying that, but I just gave you scripture. You'll have to read it yourself here in Romans chapter 9. Not only the universalist cringes at such talk, but many who claim to love the truth of God's word get a little bit nervous right here. Destruction? Prepared for destruction? The merciful God prepared people for destruction? And I'm not going to clean that up. Let's rejoice in our salvation, but never forget, as we have concluded in this study over and over, that not all are saved now, for sure, and eternity is not going to change their status. Romans 10, 16 and 11, 5, the point is made in these verses that not everyone will obey the gospel. I'm sorry if it's becoming repetitive, but he just says it over and over, that there's only a remnant who will. That remnant is according to an election of grace. You can struggle that if you want to, but let's don't change it, all right? I'm not going to tell you what it means or how it works, but there it is. There it is. That's God's word. In Romans 11, here in verses like 11 to 32, this is a passage that's seized on by the universalists and made to fit the mold that they have created. We're going to enter that same passage with the light that we've already gained from Paul and so many others. The Bible doesn't contradict itself. For sure, Paul is not going to contradict himself. So let's follow his argument. First, Israel, as a nation, has fallen. No question about that. We know that because of their rejection of all the prophets and then Jesus himself, and they rejected it. But because of their fall, all the other nations were invited into the kingdom. That's how you got saved. It's because Israel didn't back then. Paul calls this event of all the Gentiles hearing about things, he calls it the reconciling of the world. The reconciling of the world. Indeed, God so loved what? The world. We must never dispute that. Jesus died for the sins of the world. Whoever desires to come to Jesus is welcome to come. Anyone in the world, God will receive all sinners for sure. But the question is, will all sinners receive him? This is where we've got to part company with universalism. No, not all will receive him. They'll choose to stay in their sins and pay their own way. A price they cannot afford, by the way, but they're going to try to pay it anyway. How many people you've heard of and seen and talked to and heard on television who said things like this. They're just not interested. They'll go their own way. The second, after Israel's hardening and God's grace to the Gentiles, after all that, Israel is going to come once more to the Father. Now, we're not talking about the Israel that's past, obviously, but the Israel as an entity. It's in the future. Jesus himself is going to deal with some Israelites. The Bible talks about them in the book of Revelation. 144,000. They're in the wilderness. He reveals himself to them. It's described in the prophets and by John. Ezekiel's bones resurrected from the dead, as it were. God will have mercy on the remnant, of Israel. But by this time, Israel, using Paul's tree analogy, Israel will have had a myriad of branches, the Gentiles, attached to it. This will be the fullness of Israel, all Israel, that God foresaw from the beginning. As all of the true Israel will be saved. All Israel will be saved. True Israel. Unbelieving Israel, they're not really Israel. Unbelieving Gentiles are not Israel either. God's word hasn't suddenly changed regarding unbelief. Please, please understand. He's not including unbelievers in all of this. But the true remnant church, the true remnant Israel, put it all together. The people of God, they will, all of them, be saved. Now the universalist grasps for verse 32. And out of verse 32, he'll make his creed. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. Does this mean, in your thinking, that every Jew and every Gentile of all time, all of whom have been disobedient sinners, that all of them will, in the end, be called up to God's glory, totally forgiven, and forever bask in God's mercy, every one of them? Would this include Judas and the Antichrist and Hitler? Well, truly every knee will bow to Jesus. That much we know. But they're not doing it because they love him. They're doing it because it's just so obvious you better bow. But will every heart and mind hear the Father's well done? Yes, everyone. Everyone. Everyone, that is, who calls upon the name of the Lord. There's the miracle. Therein is the grace and mercy of our God, that all who come to Jesus will receive abundant pardon. Whosoever will. That's the message of Scripture, book after book, that we've talked about. Not everybody, but everybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Did Jesus invite two men to paradise at his death? Remember, he's on the cross. There's a guy on one side, there's a guy on the other side. Did he invite them both? No. Only one. The one who wanted to go there. Got to go there. The other one wanted only to curse his way into a godless grave. And Jesus has shown us here the heart of the Father. Again, it's whosoever will. Such grace. Let no universalist be allowed to cheapen this gift by crying that so many are left out. God is unjust if he punishes sin in this drastic way. They're left out because they want to be left out. They reject their Creator, and therefore refused that which was created for them and his children. Is there unrighteousness with God? No. None. Nada. No unrighteousness with God. God is just. God cannot do anything wrong. Amen? All right, next time, number 18, Lord willing, we'll see you real soon. Bye-bye.